At the end of Exodus 5, Moses said, why? God, you said that I was a deliverer. God, you said that I'm going to be the one who is supposed to bring the Hebrew people out of Egypt, and that's not happening. God, your people are still in Egypt. God, your people are not only still in Egypt, but they are suffering. Look at the additional cruelty that's been inflicted upon them by the Egyptians. What's wrong? Why are things as they are, God? Moses asks these kinds of questions at the end of Exodus 5, but in Exodus 6, God says, I'm going to answer your question, Moses. I'm going to give you some news. I'm going to make some promises. And these promises, these are grand, these are great, these are wonderful promises. Tonight, I want to start reading with Exodus 6, the first 8 verses. We'll pause for a minute and then pick up with verse 9. Verse 1 says, and Jehovah said unto Moses, now shalt thou see what I will do to Pharaoh. For by a strong hand shall he let them go, and by a strong hand shall he drive them out of his land. And God spake unto Moses and said unto him, I am Jehovah, and I appeared unto Abraham, unto Isaac, and unto Jacob, as God Almighty. But by my name Jehovah I was not known to them. And I have also established my covenant with them, to give them the land of Canaan, the land of their sojournings, wherein they sojourned. Verse 5. And moreover, I have heard the groaning of the children of Israel, whom the Egyptians keep in bondage. And I have remembered my covenant. Wherefore, say unto the children of Israel, I am Jehovah. And I will bring you out of under the burdens of the Egyptians. And I will rid you out of their bondage. And I will redeem you with an outstretched arm and with great judgments. Verse 7, and I will take you to me for a people. And I will be to you a God. And ye shall know that I am Jehovah your God, who bringeth you out from the burdens of the Egyptians. Verse 8, and God said, I will bring you unto the land which I swear to give to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, and I will give it to you for a heritage. I am Jehovah. Now, if we had been Moses, and we had heard this very direct, this very special message from God, we probably would have been greatly encouraged. Now, Moses gets this great news, all these promises, and he decides to go to the children of Israel and share this news with them. If we have good news that we're excited about, we think, typically, as we share that news with others, they're going to be just as excited, just as enthused as we are about it. Well, let's see how the sharing went with the people of Israel. Exodus 6, verse 9. And Moses spake so, that is, he rehearsed all this information with the children of Israel. And Moses spake so unto the children of Israel. But, notice that word, there's a contrast. But they hearken not unto Moses, for anguish of spirit and for cruel bondage. Moses had this great message from God, Exodus 6, verses 1 through 8. But as he came to the people of Israel and he tried to share this message, the essential point in verse 9 is they didn't want to receive it. They didn't want to hear it. You have this message from God, and Moses, don't try to tell us about God's word. The cruel bondage had caused these people to harden their hearts to the scriptures. The bondage that had been heaped upon them by the Egyptians had so discouraged and dispirited these people. They weren't in the mess. They weren't in the mood to hear any kind of message from God, even if it was good news. Well, fast forward to our day and time. Have things changed very much? Is it not still the case that we have people in life, sometimes in the church, they become so discouraged that they no longer really want to hear a message from God? There are others, they face a great tragedy, they face a great burden. And God's people certainly did. There's no argument about that as we look back to the Hebrews and their time in Egyptian captivity. Some feel like they're burdened excessively, and they no longer also want to have any interest in spiritual things. As we think about the people in the past who have closed off their minds to God, and this has happened, it's continued to happen throughout time. This evening I want to explore 3 points. Number 1, who? Who has in the past closed off their minds to God? Number 2, if a person decides to close his or her mind off to God and spiritual things, what are the consequences? Then number 3, when there is a message from God, how should people react? How should they respond to this message? Well, our first point brings us really to where we just started. Exodus chapter 6, verses 1 through 8. When we inquire about examples or illustrations of people who have closed their minds off to God and spiritual things and essentially said, God, we don't want the message that you have. We have a good example of that with the people of Israel. Here we have an entire nation, a nation in bondage, but still many people of Israel, and they rejected a divine message from God. Today it's still possible for an entire nation, or at least almost everybody in an entire nation, to reject a message from God. There may be a period of time where a nation largely is interested in spiritual things. They're thinking about God, the Bible, heaven, hell, but a time may come when that entire nation of people, just like we have here in Exodus chapter 6, says, we're no longer interested in spiritual things. Not only can it happen in a nation, it can happen in a congregation. If we go back over the last couple hundred years, we find examples in this part of the world where there were congregations, they loved God's word. They wanted to be exposed to the scriptures. They looked forward to coming together and hearing scriptures read and hearing sermons preached and the messages that are communicated through songs. But a time came when things changed. There have been congregations that have closed their minds, if not to all of what God has to say, at least some of it. Not surprising. Paul, 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 4, said that a time would come when there would be people, he says, they're going to close their ears, they're going to turn away from the truth, and they're going to embrace fables. He knew that some would not always have an interest in receiving a message from God. The amount of time it takes for a person, or in some cases a congregation or a nation, to go from here, they're willing to listen and hear God's word, to this position where they no longer have that interest, can be very short. We know that because of the Old Testament. Back in the book of Judges, chapter 2, verse 10, the Bible says there arose another generation. And this new generation knew not Jehovah. A generation is not all that long. For most, it's about 40 years. And sometimes in that short period of time, it's enough for people to say, we're going to close our minds. A new generation arises and they're not sensitive to spiritual things as their forefathers were. When we deal with individuals, though, on an individual level, people can change their minds just like that as far as deciding to close their hearts to God's word. Think about Adam and Eve as an example. Here was a couple living out their lives on earth. They were living a life that was consistent with God's will. But in that much time, they decided that they were going to partake of the forbidden fruit. They decided that they were going to be involved with the forbidden tree. And rather than let the word of God rule their minds, they decided to let that word from the devil. They closed off their mind when it came to that rule from God, and they opened up their minds to the devil, and we know the rest of the story. As we go through life, it is the case that our minds are not idle. Our minds are always going to be headed in one direction or another when it comes to spiritual things. Our minds, our hearts are going to be open to God's word. Lord, we may not always like what we find in the scriptures, and what we find may be difficult to apply, but we're either going to be open to what the Bible says, or to some degree we're going to be closed. That may be a partial closing, it may be a full closing, but we're going to see that. Jesus, as he came and taught, knew that this is a problem for people. He knew that being open and receptive to the word of God can be a difficult thing for some folks, so he talked about it. As Jesus talked about this subject, it's interesting to me, and I'm going to in just a moment read from Matthew 13. Matthew 13, 15. This teaching, we might say, was not one that Jesus originated. Rather, as Jesus talks about this very point, he went back to another writer. He went all the way back to Isaiah about 700 years before the Lord came into the world. There was a fellow by the name of Isaiah. In Isaiah chapter 6, verses 9 and 10, we find basically the same information that we have here in Matthew chapter 13, verses 14 and 15. And as we look at Isaiah 6, or in this case specifically Matthew 13, verses 14 and 15, we have your information about people closing their hearts, closing their minds, closing their eyes when it comes to God's word and spiritual things. Verse 14 says, "And unto them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, by hearing ye shall hear, and shall in no wise understand. And seeing ye shall see, and shall in no wise perceive. For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing." They don't want that message from God. "And their eyes they have closed, lest haply they should perceive with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand with their heart, and I should heal them." Closing off the mind to some part of God's word, all of the scriptures, is a long-standing issue with people. And one of the words that is associated with Bible writers again and again, especially Jesus, is the word heart. Think about the times when the Lord said, "He that has an ear, let him hear." What was Jesus saying? He was saying when God's word is presented, listen, open up your hearts, open up your minds, open up your ears, and accept it. In verses like Matthew 13, verse 18, Jesus said, "Hear the parable. Open up your heart to accept this divine, this inspired teaching." Matthew 15, 10, I mean, it's all over the place. Jesus said, "Hear and understand." You know, a lot of husbands, I've heard from some wives over the years, every once in a while I hear it too, "You don't listen to me." Yeah. Don't get those too often, so good for you. And there are children, as they look at their parents, they say, "You don't listen to me." a lack of hearing can also be and does occur in the spiritual realm. God's word is there, but for whatever reason, people, they begin to close their minds and they begin to close their hearts. And many are not receptive. They're guilty of failing to listen to God through his word. And it is an old problem. Well, if a man does not listen to his wife or a parent does not listen to his child, the consequences of that might not be all that bad. Probably temporal. But when we think about the refusal to listen to some part of God's word or all the scriptures, are there any consequences for the person who makes this kind of choice? What about failing to listen to God's word in the spiritual realm? Are there some consequences? Yes. The Bible says there are some spiritual consequences. One of these consequences is explained by Paul in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 18. Now, I'm not going to read this passage, but if you were to flip over to Ephesians 4:18, you would see that Paul talks about people who have an understanding. He says, as he describes this understanding, it is a darkened understanding. When people begin to close their minds to the ways of God, it's not like the world says. Our world, as it thinks about trying to close off the minds of people to God, the world says, well, that's the way we become bright. That's the way that we become advanced. That's the way that we make progress in society. God says, you're going in the wrong direction. If you're rejecting me, if you're closing off your minds to my word, God says it's not spiritual advancement. It's not spiritual enlightenment. But that heart that you have, it is getting darker and darker. Your spiritual condition is getting worse and worse. You're going backwards, we might say, instead of going forwards. In 2 Corinthians 4, verse 4, Paul continued the point with a different group of people. He talked about unbelieving people, that is, the individuals who close off their mind to God and his word. Paul said, the mind is blinded. Now that's a pretty serious statement. When the light of the gospel is rejected, people truly cannot see. As we think about the strength of this claim, we could compare it to some other things. Paul doesn't say that in 2 Corinthians 4:4 you've just made a bad choice. Well, that's true, but that's not what he says. He could have said that this choice, deciding to eliminate part of all God's word from your life, is going to make your life difficult. That's true, but that's not what he said. Paul said the consequence, the choice of going down this road, it is going to cause in your life blindness, spiritually speaking. Thus, when we talk about the darkened understanding in Ephesians 4, verse 18, it's not like vision, which is just a little off. Most of us, if we wear glasses or contacts or have some kind of sight issue, over the years we probably reached a point where we had some sight problems. Things were fuzzy. I mean, we could still see, it just wasn't as clear as we looked at something up close, or as we tried to see something in the distance, it wasn't all that clear. But for the most part, we could get by. There is a huge difference, though, between something being fuzzy and being blind. Paul says, 2 Corinthians 4:4, when people begin to close off their minds to God and his word, they're blind. And that's about as serious as it gets. This fact has been illustrated time and time again in human history. One of the examples that I think illustrates the point very well comes from the Old Testament, and I'm going to read this passage as well. If you want to follow along, it comes from the book of Chronicles. It's going to be 2 Chronicles chapter 7. And we'll read verses 19 through 22. If you have headings in your Bible, you may notice as you find this section of the Old Testament that the temple has been finished. Solomon's temple had been constructed. David had, of course, brought together the things that were necessary for that. And this was a big deal for the Hebrew people. There was a giant celebration. And after the temple was finished and after all of the celebrations were passed, God, 2 Chronicles chapter 7, appeared to Solomon. God reminded this king of the agreement that had been made with his father David. And as I said, our reading is going to begin with verse 19 and go down through verse 22. And here we have some information about rejecting God and the things that he has tried to communicate to people. I need to make a quick adjustment on my page. Okay, 2 Chronicles 7, starting with verse 19. Here's the warning to Solomon. But if ye turn away and forsake my statutes and my commandments. Well, there it is. If you're going to close your heart off to me. God says, which I have set before you, and shall go and serve other gods and worship them. Here's the consequence. Then God said, will I pluck them up by the roots out of my land, which I had given them. And this house, or the temple, which I have hallowed for my name, will I cast out of my sight. And I will make it a proverb and a byword among all peoples. And then in verse 21, and this house, which is so high, everyone that passeth by it shall be astonished and shall say, why hath Jehovah done this unto this land and to this house? And they shall answer, because they forsook Jehovah, the God of their fathers. They cut his word out of their lives, who brought them forth out of the land of Egypt and laid hold on other gods and worshiped them and served them. Therefore hath he brought all this evil upon them. When God tells people to open their hearts, open their minds, open their lives to his word, and they're not willing to do that, God's not kidding when it comes to the consequences. This is one of the worst choices that people can make as they go through life. Maybe one of the greatest illustrations of this is the crucifixion of Christ. Jesus was the Word. I mean, it's one thing to have a preacher or a teacher stand up and preach and teach. But imagine the living Word, the Word of God, coming and living and teaching in the place where you are. When the Lord spoke, he literally was the Word of God. He gave out the words of God. 1 John chapter 1, verse 1 refers to Jesus as the Word of life. But as the Lord went from place to place and taught, as he gave those parables and those other teachings, there were some people who closed off their minds to him. They closed off their minds to the point where they called for his death. As we've been studying in the Wednesday night class, that brought a consequence. A consequence that's one of the worst things the world has ever seen. If we're not willing to open our minds, then we're going to find that God will not be very open to us. 2 Chronicles chapter 7. Rejecting God's word means that we're on the road to the place, the terrible place called hell. All right, thus far we've looked at some examples of people who have closed off their minds to God. We've also given some consideration to the consequence that comes, or the consequences that come from making this kind of decision. Now let's turn our attention to that third item. Let's think about the right way to approach the scriptures. In looking at this third point, maybe the beginning place for this section is found in the word childhood. If we're going to open our minds to God's word, if we're going to help others to open their minds to God's word, the beginning time, the right time to do that is at childhood. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15, Paul says to this man that he'd known for a while, you have been taught God's word from when? From a babe. From a small child. People have tried to open your heart. Your mother, your grandmother. These people have tried to infuse God's word into your life. And Paul spoke about this in a favorable way. As a preacher, I'll tell you, there are more than a few people who want to try to open their heart to God. But it is in the last years, the last months, the last days, and in some cases, the last minutes of life. Well, if that's a choice that a person has made, there's no way to go back and, you know, reverse things. We can't transverse back through time. But that's the worst time to try to do it. I mean, if that's the only chance we have, well, then we'll work with what we have. But that's the worst time. That's the worst kind of decision to say, well, we're going to try to wait right until we're old and we're about dead and then work things up, out with God. A little better, but still not great, is a situation where a person reaches adulthood. They're 50, or they're 40, or they're 30, and now they're trying to go back and put God's word into the life. The older you are, the harder it is to learn. And the harder it is to unlearn some of the things that we picked up as we've gone through life. At the earliest stages, children need to be taught about God, taught about his word, and that word needs to be put into their lives on a regular basis. And one of the places where God says do this is in the home. If you were to go back to the Old Testament, once again, Deuteronomy chapter 6, in this case, Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 7, God says children need to be taught his word in the home. Now, God also spoke about situations outside the home, but God specifically says in Deuteronomy 6, 7, as kids are in the home, they needed to be instructed in his word. True for the Old Testament era, and certainly true for our era. As we look at society today, though, kids are instructed in a lot of things in the place where they live. And some of it, or we might say in some cases, much of it is not good. We, as we look at kids, find that in some of today's homes, it's there that they're introduced to alcohol. It's there in the home that they're introduced to illegal drugs or pornography. We find that in some homes, kids actually are closed off to God's word. Mom and dad never talk about the Bible. Read the Bible. Make a Bible available to children. Make a book of Bible stories available to kids. But they can learn. They can learn. We had some visitors here this morning that I had the chance to have lunch with, and I learned some things. The lady in the family that we went out with, she's a teacher. And she said in the place where they teach, first graders are making PowerPoint presentations. I didn't know that. First graders are able to pick up things like an iPod, and they're able to pick up a smartphone, and they know which apps are free and which are not. They're smart. They can figure things out. At those early ages, they're able to be exposed to the Word of God, and they can begin to ingrain, and in some cases, even apply the stories of God's Word. And those hearts, as they're especially young and pliable, that information needs to be put in about God and his word on a regular basis. And Deuteronomy 6, 7, the home is one of the places where that needs to be instilled in them. The Bible also needs to be read. If we're going to open hearts to the word of God, people have got to hear it. And in some cases, that means public reading of Scripture. Moses lived a pretty old life. In the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 31, the Bible tells us that he was 120 years old at this time. Now, some of what Moses said as an old man, as he was 120, Deuteronomy 31, verses 10 through 13, tell us he said these words. And Moses commanded them, saying, at the end of every 7 years, in the set time of the year of the release, in the Feast of Tabernacles, when Israel is to come to appear before Jehovah thy God in the place which he shall choose. Moses said, you need to do this. In this assembly, he said, thou shalt read the law before all Israel. Everybody needs to hear the word of God because that needs to be put into the heart. Assemble the people. Deuteronomy 31, verses 10 to 13 says you get out the men and you bring together the women and you bring together the little ones, the small kids, and you get the sojourner who is within thy gates that they may hear. God's word needs to be presented so people can hear it. And then he goes on to say that they may learn. It wasn't just a matter of hearing it, but they also needed some instruction that they could apply it. And fear Jehovah your God, and observe to do all the words of this law, that their children who have not known may hear, and learn to fear Jehovah your God as long as you live in this land, whether you go over to the Jordan to possess it. God's word needs to be read. And, you know, here and in other places it is read. It's read on a regular basis, preaching, teaching, those kinds of things, scripture reading. And as I said, sometimes these readings need to be public. Even the little ones need this instruction. God's word is so important that as we look at the scriptures, we find that it is worthy of a long process, if such is necessary. Another Old Testament passage, this one coming from the book of Nehemiah, chapter 8, verses 2 to 3. Now, in some places today, this probably wouldn't go over. They'd fire the preacher and people would leave when the clock hit noon. But the Bible says in Nehemiah, chapter 8, verses 2 through 3, Ezra, he read the law from early morning till midday. Now, can you imagine a congregation if they announced that in their church bulletin? We're going to meet in the early morning and we're going to have somebody get up and read God's word from early in the morning. Let's just say 5 o'clock, 4 o'clock, whatever it is, until midday. We're going to have 8 hours of scripture reading. Oh, you're killing me! I think there'd be some people who would have that attitude today. God says that's not how it was. We should have that heart that is willing and receptive to hear his word. And then you have this. Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 5, the same chapter. The Bible there says that all the people, when it was time to hear God's word, all the people stood up. Now, I think that would shock some people in America today. Somebody says our scripture reading is, and everybody stands up. I'd say, well, what on earth are you doing? That's just the Bible. Why would we stand up to hear the scriptures read? Because it is the most important book that's ever been given. These are the words of God. And God says you be open to it, but you also be respectful, because it is the guide, it is the path to eternal life. God's given that word. And to each one of us, he's also given free will. For every single person, God says, here's the information from me, and I'm giving you a heart to make a choice, to make a decision about it. And we make that choice. The world makes a choice about it every single day. We can look at God's word, and we can be the kind of person who simply says, I don't want to see it. I don't want to know what's in it. Or we can kind of, you know, open it up and glance at it every once in a while. Or we can say, well, I'm a little more serious. I'm going to flip through and see all or pretty much all it says. Or we can be the kind of person, as Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. We can say we're going to know what it says, we're going to follow what it says, because it is our guide to life. Tonight, our heart, where is it when it comes to being open to the word of God? We hope that it is. We hope that your heart has been open enough in the past where you have said, I believe what it says. My heart is open enough where I'm going to repent. I'm going to do my best to live as the Bible describes, even though that can really be hard some days. It's open enough that I'm going to confess that I'm not the Lord of my life. Christ is. And it's open enough that I'm going to serve him. I want to be forgiven of every single sin by being baptized into Christ. And then, even though some of what's in there is difficult to apply, it's open enough where I'm going to do my best to be obedient to it every single day that life is in my body. If that's not where we are tonight, we'd like to encourage you to start down this path. Maybe you need to become a Christian. And tonight your heart is open enough to take those final couple steps. You believe and you really want to do what's right. But you've never opened the heart wide enough to say Christ is going to be the master, my only true spiritual leader. He's going to be the Lord of my life. And you've never opened it wide enough to say, I need to be baptized for the forgiveness of my sins to come into Christ. If you have made those choices, then maybe as time has continued to pass, you have decided to close that heart in some areas or maybe many areas tonight. Because of what the word is, how important it is, will you not once again make that decision to say, God, here's my heart. I'm going to open it. I'm going to open it widely, fully, and be the best servant I can in your kingdom. Let's think about our heart and its condition as we stand and sing the selected song.